Blog Talk Radio.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
here we go. To the 40, the 30, the 20, touchdown print.
Let me tell you what you want. I make that ass drop like a sack of potatoes. What's grill on the cracker later?
Freeze. In the air to center. Has it done it? Play back. Hello, game seven. Goodbye. Home run. An unbelievable win for the St. Louis Cardinals.
And the gas tank. Almost at the finish line, so I can't stop now. I don't really know where I'm headed.
Southernmost Sports Wrap. Only on KeyWestShow.com.
On Ship to Shore Radio. Sorry about that. I'm still trying to get it edited. Normally, I thought it said Ship to Shore. It is on Ship to Shore Radio, everybody. This is a new edition of the Southern Bowl Sports Wrap. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but the game for the Heat could have been over about 3 minutes ago, and I could have been paying attention fully on my sports broadcasting. But I can't be mad with the tie. Chris Bosh sinking about a 26-foot three-pointer to tie the game pretty much at the buzzer. So we are in overtime. Miami Heat are without their two big stars, LeBron and Wade. Not serious injuries, but could keep them out for a couple games. Bosch taking over today. He has a double-double. And is tied up at 93. Overtime just started, so I'll keep you guys updated on that. But let's talk about other big news. The Heat did suffer versus the same Hawks about 3 days ago. I actually went to that game when they lost. So it sucks, but that was their first loss of the year. You all knew it was going to happen sooner or later. And I just want to give shouts out and thanks to Kelly Anderson. I had her on the show a couple times. And, she couldn't go to the game, so she called me up. And I was able to take another person with me, and we got free tickets to a Heat game, really good seats. And just all thanks to her, although they lost, but not her fault. But thank you to Kelly. And Spurs guard Manu Ginobili is out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken hand. It's not good news for the Spurs. They have other pieces, Duncan, obviously, Parker, but they're kind of the supporting cast. I honestly think it's Ginobili's team. And with his youth and agility, he's the star. So I think that's not a big loss for them. Normally 6 to 8 weeks isn't a big deal, but with a condensed season, that's a lot of games. So that could definitely affect their playoff positioning. Assuming that they're still going to make the playoffs, which I still think they will. Other news, Carlos Zambrano, a longtime Cub, is just officially traded to the Marlins. We traded to them Chris Volstead, another pitcher of ours. So I think it's a good trade for us. Zambrano, obviously a hot-headed guy, but a very good pitcher. And I think our pitching staff is looking great. I don't know what order it's going to be in, but it should look something like this. It should be Josh Johnson, Mark Burley. Then I think probably Ricky Nolasco, and then either Anibal Sanchez at fourth, and probably at fifth, Carlos Zambrano. I don't know about the order. Just an update on the game. It is now 97-93 Heat. Chalmers just with a nice layup, so the Heat looking good. Joe Torre, longtime Yankees coach. I guess he's not going to play any role in the MLB this year, no coaching or anything. He's going to – I don't know why – Well, I guess he's in the race to buy the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I guess if he buys it, then he can't do anything else. He's the owner of a ball club, so that's what he's trying to do right now. The franchise still trying to be sold. And I'm just going to move it down really quick and talk a little college basketball. I don't really talk too much about it. I'm really not a huge fan of it. I like professional sports. I mean, I'm a diehard professional sports fan. But just a really quick rundown. He's the top 10 in the nation. As of this morning, it was Syracuse at number 1, 15-0. Kentucky, 13-1. At number 2, North Carolina, 13-2. At number 3, Baylor, another undefeated team, 13-0. They're number 4. Duke Blue Devils, 12-1. They're number 5. Ohio State, 13-2. They're number 6. Missouri, undefeated as well, 13-0. They're number 7. Connecticut, UConn, 12-1. At number 8, Georgetown, 12-1. At number 9, and Michigan State, 13-2. And they are number 10 in the nation. And I do watch college football. And let's talk about the bowl games. I shied away from it last week. Just a lot of information. And then I had a lot already going on. And I just want to talk about the bowl games that's already happened and a couple of late ones. Let's talk about kick it off with what's already been played. I believe the first bowl game was the New Mexico Bowl. It was Temple, Wyoming, and Temple won it decisively, 37-15. The Idaho Potato Bowl between Ohio and Utah State. Ohio won 24-23. The R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, San Diego State and Louisiana Lafayette. Lafayette won 32-30. Marshall, Florida International, which I did attend up in St. Pete. Heartbreaking loss for us. Marshall wins 20-10. TCU and LA Tech. TCU wins 31-24. Horned Frogs get the victory in that bowl. Arizona State and Boise State. Boise State routed them 56-24. Nevada, Southern Miss in the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl. Southern Miss won 24-17. The AdvoCare V100 Independence Bowl. Catchy name, huh? No, not really. Missouri and North Carolina. Missouri wins 41-24. The Little Caesars Bowl. Western Michigan and Purdue. Purdue wins 37-32. The Belk Bowl. NC State defeated Louisville 31-24. The Military Bowl. Toledo wins 42-41 over Air Force. The Bridgepoint Education Holiday Bowl, California and Texas, and Texas won 21-10. The Champ Sports Bowl, Florida State, Notre Dame. Florida State wins 18-14. That's a lot of bowls. I didn't really know how to pick and choose, so I'm just going to read them off to you guys. Washington Baylor played the Valero Alamo Bowl, and that was the highest score bowl game combined. I think it was history, definitely, this bowl games this year. 67-56 Baylor. The Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl, BYU-Tulsa. BYU wins 24-21. New Era Pinstripe Bowl, I believe it was played at Yankee Stadium. Rutgers beats Iowa State 27-13. The Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. Mississippi State and Wake Forest. Mississippi State wins 23-17. The Insight Bowl, Iowa-Oklahoma. Oklahoma wins 31-14. The Meineke Car Care Bowl of Texas. Texas A&M beats Northwestern 33-22. The Hyundai Sun Bowl, Georgia Tech, Utah. Utah wins 30-27. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Cincy and Vanderbilt. Cincinnati wins 31-24. Almost done. Close. There's so many bowls. The Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl, Illinois, UCLA. Illinois wins 20-14. Chick-fil-A Bowl. Virginia and Auburn. Auburn wins easily 43-24. I believe that was a New Year's Eve bowl or played on New Year's Eve. Ticket City Bowl, Houston and Penn State. Houston wins 30-14, capping off a 13-1 season for Houston. Outback Bowl, Michigan State and Georgia. Michigan State wins 33-30. Capital One Bowl, South Carolina beats Nebraska 30-13. The TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl. Florida wins 24-17 over Ohio State. Rose Bowl. Getting to the big bowls here. Oregon beats Wisconsin 45-38. Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Oklahoma State defeats Stanford 41-38. The All-State Sugar Bowl. Michigan beats Virginia Tech 23-20. And last night, the Discover Orange Bowl played down here in Miami. West Virginia routes Clemson 70-33. The most points scored in a bowl game in history. And what's left? Four bowl games left. The Cotton Bowl, which is played tomorrow night. at 8 o'clock on Fox, Kansas State versus Arkansas. Both are 10-2. On the 7th, the BBVA Compass Bowl between SMU and Pittsburgh. The GoDaddy.com Bowl on January 8th between Arkansas State, Sun Belt Representative versus Northern Illinois. And finally, on January 9th, it'll be the BCS Championship game played on ESPN, January 9th, 8:30, Alabama, LSU. So that should be fun. And just really quick, on the Heat game, it is 99-95 Heat. Now it's 99-97 Heat. 40 seconds to go. It's tough for me, but I'm trying to pay attention. You know I'm a huge NBA fan. But speaking of NBA, let's talk about NBA. And here's my early power rankings so far. ESPN has them, so why not me? Everybody's played roughly 6 or 7 games. Miami Heat, I have as my number one, not because I'm a Heat fan, but just purely I think they're the best team. Chicago Bulls at number two. Oklahoma City, I would have normally had them at number two, but I think the Bulls are up there with you know, them and us. And they have a better record, so I have number 4, LA Clippers, 5, Portland Trail Blazers, 6, Dallas Mavericks, 7, the Atlanta Hawks, 8, Orlando Magic, 9, which these guys will probably move up later on in the year, LA Lakers, and at number 10, because of Ginobili's missing a lot of games, San Antonio's number 10. And I'm sad to say the Heat, I believe, are down now by, tie game. That was a 2-pointer. So he had the ball with 19 seconds left. It is tied at 99. Just thought that was important for any Heat fan listening in. Let's talk about the stat leaders in the NBA. Just going to pull it up really quick. So far, your offensive leaders, points per game, LeBron James, 29.9. Carmelo Anthony at 27.8. Kevin Durant, 26.1. Kobe Bryant, 25.9. And Kevin Love, 25.7. Your rebound leaders, it's going to be a fight over these two guys, Dwight Howard and Kevin Love. Currently, Dwight Howard has the rebound advantage, 16 a game. Kevin Love with 15 a game. Spencer Hawes has 11.4 a game. Marc Gasol for Memphis, 10.2. And interestingly enough, Udonis Haslem is the 5th best rebounder off the bench. At that, he's averaging 10 rebounds a game. Blocks per game, DeAndre Jordan at 3. JaVale McGee, 2.83 blocks per game. Dwight Howard, 2.71. Greg Stiesma from Boston, that's 2.6 a game. It's Spencer Hawes. And assists, Rajon Rondo, 10.7. Kyle Lowry, 10. Jose Calderon, 10. Chris Paul, 9.8. And Steve Nash, 8.7 assists per game. I will definitely talk about the steals and the opportunities later on. I just think at this point it's not even accurate to who's going to be there. So I'm going to skip that for now. But you guys all know who will definitely be leading that for sure. And I know it's only 13 past, but I'm going to move on really quick. Talk about NFL a little bit. Really quick, let's run down the scoreboard really quick. From last week, it was a very important week. It was week 17. A lot of teams still had a chance to make it to the playoffs. And really quick, with 3 seconds left in the game, missed a shot. Good defense. Looks like the Heat and the Hawks are going into double overtime. Like I said, they are without LeBron and Wade. Looks like Chalmers and Bosch kind of the two main guys today for scoring. And like I said, moving on really quick. Got a lot of football this weekend. Playoffs are starting. But let's see how they got there really quick. And last week, started off with the Dolphins and Jets. I was at work, but it was Jason Taylor's final game, and I was watching it. And Dolphins win at home 19-17. It wouldn't have mattered for the Jets either way. But Dolphins definitely get a good win. And it was Jason Taylor's final game, so it was good to see that happen. Bills, Patriots. Bills jumping out to a 21-0 lead. And Patriots ended up finishing on a 49-0 run. So 49-21 Patriots. And they finish up 13-3 on the season. Titans, Texans. Huge game for the Titans. They had to win to stay alive, and they did, 23-22 at Houston. Colts, Jaguars. A lot of people had the Colts, but away from home, I had the Jaguars. And Jaguars did win 19-13. Colts securing that first draft spot. Definitely didn't get the first playoff spot. They're about 10 wins off of that. The Redskins, Eagles, kind of what I expected. Eagles win 34-10. Finished with an 8-8 record, kind of respectively, versus, you know, from what they had. So 8-8 for them. Bears, Vikings. Bears actually win on the road 17-13. Panthers, Saints. Saints actually played a lot tougher than I thought. I thought the Panthers would win, but the Saints came out to play 45-17 for them. 49ers at Rams, a lot closer than I thought. 49ers had to win this game to keep that first-round bye, but they did, 34-27. Lions, Packers. Packers played tough, winning 45-41. Definitely have some more stats on this game coming up. Some crazy stat numbers from that game. That's kind of what you give the Lions, because they don't have a defense and they have a huge offense, so a lot of points scored in a lot of Lions games this year. Ravens, Bengals. Ravens trying to keep the Bengals out of the playoffs. Ravens win 24-16. Ravens secure first round bye. Steelers, Browns. Steelers hurting without Big Ben and Mendenhall. Big Ben, I believe, did play, and they escaped with a win 13-9. Didn't affect their playoff seeding. It could have if the Ravens would have lost, but Ravens, like I said, won. So Steelers remain at that fifth seed. Chiefs, Broncos. Kyle Orton coming back to Mile High, trying to knock off the team that kicked him out, the Broncos. He did his job. It was a 7-3 win for the Chiefs. I don't know what's up with the Broncos. They're in the playoffs because of the win, but they lost. But like I said, they are in the playoffs because of this game. Oakland and San Diego. San Diego beating Oakland 38-26 on the road. So all three teams in AFC West, the top three, finishing 8-8. Chiefs, the other team, finishing 7-9. So it was a very close division. And Broncos get the tiebreaker. Raiders, all they had to do was win. Close game, but Chargers too much for them. Seahawks, Cardinals. A lot of debate on this one for some reason, but I had the Cardinals winning. They did 23-20. Two teams I think will be good next year. Falcons, Buccaneers. Falcons were up, I think, 42-0 at one point. It ended up being 45-24. Falcons, Giants, Cowboys, the final game of the regular season. Winner goes to the playoffs. And just like I expected and everybody expected, Giants win 31-14. So they are 9-7 moving to the playoffs to host the wild card team. Now, how did these seedings kind of fall out? In the AFC, Patriots keep the number one seed, 13-3. They have home field throughout the playoffs. Ravens, first round bye, 12-4. Texans, 10-6 at the third spot. And the Broncos, 8-8. And Steelers get the fifth seed, the wild card spot, 12-4. And the Bengals, I was really confused because I read you, the Titans were next in line. It's so complicating. You have to look at so many tiebreakers, but the Titans were the next in line. So they won and the Bengals lost. So I thought, the Titans were in the hunt, so something had to happen for them to get in. I assume that it just had to be the Bengals losing. But Bengals did lose. Titans did win, but the Bengals still got the tiebreaker. And I think the Titans needed help. I think the Titans needed another team to tie with them for them to kind of have the outright tie. But it was only them two tying, so Bengals apparently had the tiebreaker. And in the NFC, Packers already had the first seed clinched up. They went again 15-1 as their record. First home field throughout playoffs. 49ers 13-3, hold on to that first round bye. Saints 13-3 as well, but they get the third seed. Giants 9-7 with the NFC East title. Falcons 10-6, Lions 10-6, Falcons with the first wild card, and the Lions with the second wild card. So, here are the matchups this weekend. The Bengals and at Texans, Steelers at Broncos, Falcons at the Giants, and Lions at the Saints. And let's see what days those teams play. Starting with First game will be, they really don't have this listed out very well, 4:30 on Saturday, January 7th, is Cincinnati-Houston. And game two on Saturday will be Detroit at New Orleans. That'll be at 8 o'clock on Saturday. And Sunday, two games as well. First game is Pittsburgh at Denver, a 4:30 game. And that's the second game. The first game is at 1 o'clock on Sunday. That is Atlanta at the Giants. So I am doing a pool, and here's my picks. I have the Texans beating the Bengals 23-20. I have the Broncos beating the Steelers 21-18. I have the Falcons beating the Giants 30-24, and I have the Saints beating the Lions 38-31. So that's my predictions. I don't know what's going to happen, but that's just what I think. And a lot of people, nobody really has the Broncos except for me. Big Ben is really hurt. I don't know if a week's going to really help him out a little bit. Just some news for the playoffs. Speaking of those Steelers, safety Ryan Clark, he can't play this weekend because they're playing Denver. And they're playing at Denver, which is, you know, such a high altitude. And he has a sickle cell trait, so which it gets worse in high altitude, so he can't play. His disease can worsen, so he's going to have to sit out that one. Mendenhall has been out for a couple weeks, so he is out. He can't play. And Big Ben will play because he's Big Ben, but he is hurt. We saw him against a couple weeks ago versus San Francisco. He was just horrible. And obviously, they didn't do too well this week against the Browns, winning by 4 points. And just for the Houston injuries, you know, haunting them all year long. Obviously, with Matt Schaub starting off so great, making me think they were the Super Bowl team, and then Matt Leinart coming in and getting hurt instantly. And then T.J. Yates actually got injured as well, but he is going to play. And I believe Andre Johnson will play as well. I looked at the injury reports this morning, and both of them were listed as probable versus the Bengals. I believe Yates has a shoulder problem. Andre Johnson still with the hamstring problems, but they should both be okay. And, you know, that's why I picked them. If they weren't healthy, I would have definitely picked the Bengals. Bengals are a strong team. But, you know, they have the record. And I think Houston's just a better team. And they're at home, so that's why I picked them to win. And just so you guys know, if you guys want to call in the show, talk about anything sports-related, number to call in, 347-215-9420. Just watching this Heat game a little bit. Miami with the ball. And Chris Bosh knocks the shot down. Miami is up by 4 points, 107-103, with 2:23 left in second overtime. And it's right above me. It's hard for me not to pay attention. Hopefully I don't get off track. But that's the score so far. And just really quick, a bunch of games on so far. And in basketball. Well, actually, today's Thursday. There shouldn't be too many games on. There's 4 games on today. Dallas, San Antonio. Wow. San Antonio won 93-71 without Ginobili. I don't know what Dallas is going to do this year. They're not playing well. They got Lamar, but at least from a, looking at him from a fantasy point standpoint, he's not doing good. So I don't know if Odom has been the guy they were hoping for, but I think they've lost way too much more than they've gotten. So Dallas struggling, and the Heat up by two, just got a turnover with a minute 33 left. Milwaukee beating Sacramento big time right now, 58-37 at halftime. The other game that should be on TNT right now, which isn't because of the Heat, is LA and Portland. Lakers and the Trailblazers is tied at 35 with 8:17 left in the second quarter. So keep an eye on that. There's a lot of games playing on right now. These games are kind of ridiculous, but, you know, what are you going to do? You're paying a lot of money. There's just a lot of games condensed down really bad. Like, I believe the Hawks are on a 9-game, 12-day streak or something right now. It's just, it's, you don't see that ever. But yeah, they're going to have to play through it and see what happens with that. And just really quickly, I told you guys I was going to incorporate it a little bit. And that is my hockey. And I just want to get into the conference standings. I do take a peek just to see how the Panthers are doing. And they're still doing very good. In the East so far, the Rangers are still up top at 54 points. Boston right behind them at 53 points. And Florida Panthers are third place with 48 points, leading that division. Philadelphia Flyers at number 4 with 50. Ottawa, 47 points. Pittsburgh Penguins at number 6 with 46. Toronto at 45, and the Washington Capitals at 44 points. New Jersey right behind them at number 9 spot with 44 points as well. Going into the Western Conference, Vancouver leading the West with 53 points. Chicago Blackhawks, 52 points. The San Jose Sharks at 46 points. And good thing they're winning that division. Detroit, 51 points at number 4. St. Louis Blues, 51 points at number 5. Minnesota Wild having a good year at 48 points. Nashville, 46, and Dallas at 45. And two other teams out of 45 as well. Number 9, Los Angeles Kings, and the Colorado Avalanche. So I just thought I'd talk about it a little bit. I'm not going to go into any further detail. I had Evo Rob on the show last Thursday to talk a little hockey, in case you missed it. It was on the show, and just so that's my hockey for today. I will update the standings next week for sure. The stat of the week brought to you by the Zen Man, and a little treat for you guys today. Honestly, I think stat of the weeks are a treat. They really are. They're just interesting stats that I feel like you have no idea about, and I'm going to bring it to you right now. I have 7 stat of the weeks. Let's start with the first stat. 49ers allowed 0 rushing touchdowns through 14 games. Ended up allowing a 3 in the last 2 games. So 3 all year as an NFL record. I kind of counted them out for the playoffs, but with their defense, you can't count them out. Defense is, you know, defense does win championships, and that's the truth. But it also offense does, and I think in this case, I just feel the Saints and the Packers have a much, way too much offense for them to handle, but they'll count them out. Saints finished the season on a 7-game win streak. 1,000 total passing yards in the final game between the Packers and the Lions. That's right, 1,000 total. That is ridiculous. Between two players, and these two players are now the next two stats of the week. In the same game, Matt Flynn contributed to 480 passing yards with 6 touchdowns in the absence of resting Aaron Rodgers. Huge game for him. That's a backup doing I have no faith in the Lions just because of that defense. Giving up 480 passing yards and 6 touchdowns. It's ridiculous. But on the other side, Matthew Stafford completing that 1,000 yard combined with 520 yards himself. That was the most since Boomer Esiason. That's amazing. That's so many yards. I was just shocked. And because of that, he ended up getting 5,000 yards, which 3 quarterbacks this year got it. Aaron Rodgers did not get it, but he would have got it. I don't think he only needed like 50 yards, or not even, just to get to 5,000. But he didn't even play, so I'm not gonna count him in because he didn't get it. But technically, there's 4 or 5,000 yard passing quarterbacks this year, which is just as a record. Well, it would have been a record, but I think 3 is a record anyway. It's just outstanding. The 3 that did get it, Breeze by far. Brady got it last weekend. Stafford got it this week. And he needed all those yards to get it. Barely getting that 5,000, but congratulations to him. Did not make the Pro Bowl. But like I said, the other two that made it, two of them that made it above him, well, 3 of them, the 3 quarterbacks that made the Pro Bowl above Stafford were 3 quarterbacks that made the playoffs, 2 of them being Brady and Breeze, excuse me, 2 of them being Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, which I feel that both, one of them is going to make the Super Bowl. Which, obviously, you know, the Super Bowl is played 2 weeks after the championship game, and right in between is the Pro Bowl. And if you make it to the Super Bowl, you do not play in the Pro Bowl. So that's how that works out. And my final stat was Calvin Johnson. I can't remember the stats of every game or whatever. And I looked at it this morning at the stat leaders for the NFL. And I saw Calvin Johnson leading for wide receivers, and I was looking at him thinking, wait a second, Wes Welker has been leading all year long. Nope, Calvin Johnson is not leading. And the reason why is because he got 244 receiving yards. The funny thing is, he doesn't get like 20 receptions a game. He only gets like 8 or 9, but his average yards per reception is like 20 every game. 244. I looked it up, and that's 24th all time. So, yeah. Big numbers for him. So, that is my stat of the week. And this looks, just updating you really quick on the game. He had a stranglehold, man, and now they're down to my 2 with the ball. And I'm kind of scrambling here. Sorry about that. But, yeah, I come home Thursdays. For some reason, he has me closing every Thursday. So I get home pretty late. And I kind of have to scramble to get the show going. But I had everything written down. Looks like Chalmers is going to get 2 free throws to try to tie this game up. And how about those stat leaders for the entire year? I figured it's definitely a good time to break it out. And here are the stat leaders for the year. They say 3 quarterbacks in the 5,000 yard mark. Drew Brees, 5,476, shattering Dan Marino's record. Tom Brady, 5,235. He broke the record as well. But kind of unimportant because the new record holder had a big Drew Brees anyways. But Tom Brady, he's now the second highest passing yards of the season of all time. I think it's just, you know, worth noting. I mean, no surprise for Tom Brady or Drew Brees, but Drew Brees is 6 foot, listed 6 foot. I don't even know how tall he is, but, you know, the quarterback's a tall man's game, and he's proven everybody wrong. Matthew Stafford getting 5,038 yards. You know, he got 38 yards. He needed like 482 yards last game, and he ended up getting I mean, that's a lot to ask for somebody to get to 5,000, but he got 520, so he got it. And Eli Manning, 4,933. He was, Aaron Rodgers wasn't that close, I'm sorry. But he still could have got it if he played. He had 4,643 yards. Eli Manning could have gotten it, but he played the last game, so technically he's only three. I guess Aaron Rodgers wasn't as close as I thought he was, but still definitely a striking distance. I think he would have got it, especially against the Lions, if he would have played. So just keeping him healthy, keeping him safe. Rushing yards, Maurice Jones-Drew finishing off by a good margin of 1,606 yards. Ray Rice, second, 1,364 yards. Michael Turner for Atlanta, 1,340 yards. LeSean McCoy, 1,309. And Arian Foster, 1,224 yards. For him, receiving yards, I don't know if Wes Welker just didn't play that much, but wow. I guess you do have a big jump when you have 244 yards in a game. Calvin Johnson, 1,681 yards. That tops any rusher in rushing yards, any wide receiver receiving yards. Amazing year for Calvin Johnson. Wes Welker, 1,569 yards, still great. Victor Cruz for the Giants, who did not make it to the Pro Bowl, 1,536 yards. Larry Fitzgerald, no surprise, he was on the list with 1,411 yards. And Steve Smith doing big things down there in Carolina with Cam Newton, 1,394 yards for him. For tackles, London Fletcher, who was not selected to the Pro Bowl, leading the NFL in tackles with 166. DeQuell Jackson for Cleveland, 158. Chad Greenway from Minnesota, 154. Pat Anger for the Colts, 148. And Curtis Lofton for the Falcons with 147. Just really quick updating you on the game. It is tied up, 24 seconds left. So Atlanta has the final shot. We'll see what happens with that. Try to get this out before it gets intense. For sacks, Jared Allen gets the sack leader this year. Wow, 22 sacks for him. Amazing. Marcus Ware, 19.5. Jason Bateman for Philly, 18. Jason Pierre-Paul, for the Giants, 16.5 sacks. And Aldon Smith for San Francisco, 14 sacks this year. Currently 10 seconds left. I know this isn't really a broadcast, but I have to do it because it's a heat. And it was blocked, and it looks like a jump ball with 3 seconds left. So, good. Joe Johnson, I thought, was either going to get fouled or make a layup, but neither happened. I give a lot of credit to Shane Battier. Wow, he blocked it too. Shane Battier is just an amazing defender. He's the big reason why the Heat are the deepest team because of that one player that we got. He's amazing. Just what he does that nobody else can is just outstanding. Interceptions, the top three, Kyle Arrington, Eric Weddle, and Charles Woodson all have 7. I know there's more, but the two that they listed were Brandon Browner for Seattle with 6 and Dashaun Goldson for 6. And it is going into triple overtime. I don't know what's better, the fact that I don't have to watch the Lakers play or I get to watch more Heat. No, I'm just kidding. I don't hate the Lakers that much, but I do get to watch more Heat. This is 4 quarters and now 3 overtimes. This is just throwing me off the entire show. But it's giving me something to talk about, something exciting. But yeah, those are all the stat leaders for the NFL this year. And I just thought, I haven't talked about it yet, the Pro Bowl that's coming up. And I haven't talked about who was selected. Hey, I'm just going to get into it. Give me 1 second. I think this is going to be a tough thing to find. I couldn't exactly write all this down before the thing, and I'm just going to really quick bring it up. Here we go. So let's show you about the Heat really quick. The fact that they're without LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, they're still, I mean, this is at Atlanta, the team that beat us healthy at home. So they're a good team, and it's good to see it a little bit. you know, just see us play without them, just see how good we are. I mean, it's always a threat that they get it. Either one of them get injured the way they drive the ball. But in the AFC, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, and Phillip Rivers are the three quarterbacks. Tom Brady getting the start. Had running back Ray Rice, then Maurice Jones-Drew, and then Arian Foster for the Texans. Fullback would be Vontae Leach from the Ravens. Wide receivers, Wes Welker, Wes Welker, Mike Wallace, A.J. Green, and Brandon Marshall. Not know that either. I really didn't look at this ground for you. I've been so busy, but it's a learning experience for both of us. But those are your wide receivers. Tight ends, no question here. Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Gates backing him up. Tackles going to be Joe Thomas, Jake Long, and DeBrickshaw Ferguson. For guards, you have Logan Mankins, Brian Waters, and Marshall Yanda. Center, Marquise Pouncey, and Nick Mangold. Defensive ends, Dwight Freeney, Andre Carter, and Elvis Dumervil from the Broncos. Defensive tackles, Haloti Ngata, Vince Wilfork, and Richard Seymour. Outside linebackers, Terrell Suggs, Von Miller, and Tamba Halley. And inside linebacker is Ray Lewis and Derek Johnson. Ray Lewis really getting that pick just because of his career. He didn't have a Pro Bowl season, but I can't argue with it. But I think there were other players that were more deserving. Talk about London Fletcher, like I said, not in the Pro Bowl. He led the NFL in tackles. I think he was more deserving. But Ray Lewis gets the start. Cornerback Darrell Revis, Champ Bailey, and Jonathan Joseph. Free safeties Ed Reed, Eric Weddle, and strong safety Troy Polamalu. No question on that one. And just really quick, checking out the NFC. I will have my top three plays, by the way, and it could be football, basketball, college. I know I was only like one-sided for a while because there was no basketball to be played, but it could be anything, so stay tuned. But here are my NFC starters. Aaron Rodgers, followed by Drew Brees, Eli Manning. Like I said, Stafford not getting the nod, but I think he'll end up there because if anyone makes the Super Bowl, they're going to call other people up. Running backs and fullback, LeSean McCoy, Matt Forte, Frank Gore, John Kuhn is the fullback from the Packers. Matt Forte obviously not going to play with his injury, so they're going to have to pull somebody up. I don't know who that's going to be. Heat, really quick, the Heat game, 112-109 Heat. I feel like everybody's watching the game that I'm talking to, but just letting y'all know. Calvin Johnson for wide receivers, no question. Larry Fitzgerald and Greg Jennings and Steve Smith. Good wide receivers. I think Victor Cruz had a better year than all three of those guys, not counting Calvin. I don't mind the Larry Fitzgerald pick because of the quarterbacks they had. You know, he did what he could. But we'll see what happens with that. Like I said, if the Packers make it, Greg Jennings will go, and they'll call Cruz. Tight ends, no question, Jimmy Graham. And Tony Gonzalez, as old as he is, he actually – I mean, you could say that he picked him because of his career, like Ray Lewis, but honestly, he had a great year. So for tackles, Jason Peters, Joe Staley, Jermone Bushrod, guard Jerry Evans, Carl Nix, David Joseph, center Ryan Khalil, Scott Wells, defensive ends, Jared Allen, Jason Babin, and Jason Pierre-Paul, and defensive tackles, Justin Smith, Jay Ratliff, and B.J. Raji. I remember B.J. Raji had an interception for a touchdown last year. I believe it was last year. It's crazy. Outside linebackers, DeMarcus Ware and Lance Briggs and Clay Matthews. Inside linebackers, Patrick Willis and Brian Urlacher. Tough dudes there. Cornerbacks, Charles Woodson, Carlos Rogers, and Charles Tillman. Free safety, Earl Thomas and Deshaun Golson. And strong safety, Adrian Wilson They did not put the kickers on here, but I know for a fact AFC is going to have Janikowski followed by Matt Prater. But they did not put the kicker on here. I guess they didn't want to put analysis on the kickers. For the NFC, I'm assuming it's David Akers because he just broke the all-time record for field goals made in a season. But I don't know who they picked. I'm assuming that it's him. And we'll see who they pick for that. So those are my NFL Pro Bowl selections. And I got about 15 minutes left. I think it's a good time to get into my top three plays of the week. And without further ado, here's play number three.
Blitz coming. And they set up a screen. Big yardage for Ryan Grant. Crossing midfield. Inside the 10, and he'll go on the distance. Touchdown reception by Ryan Grant.
That play, well, it was 80-yard play. Just kind of sums up the game that was Packers and Lions and how many yards were thrown. That was 80 of the 480 that Matt Flynn got. So a big play for him. Just what a great game. Here's play number two.
So from the three, they bring Watkins back around from the other side. Just give it to Ellington, pounding up the middle. And the ball's taken out by West Virginia back the other way. The Mountaineers took it out of his hands. And Darwin Cook is racing for a touchdown. How about that turnaround? Oh, man!
Yeah, Orange Bowl last night, crazy. West Virginia, Clemson, that was a turning point. Obviously, Clemson's a good team, but when you're about to score a touchdown, and in literally 5 seconds, wow, you fumble it and they grab it and they run it for a touchdown. Just momentum, big momentum swing for that one. And here is an awesome play. This is play number one.
We'll throw in. Here is the win. Here is the win.
I believe that happened last Thursday. Great play. Kevin Durant is amazing. I think that was one of the games that Dallas lost. I was at OKC, and they had the win, but Kevin Durant, can't count him out. Huge shot for him. And those are my top three plays of the week. Exciting to have a little basketball in there. And just really quick, it is 114-109 Miami. Third overtime, 1:41 remaining. Hawks have the ball. Again, the Heat have advantage, but Hawks keep bringing it to a tie every overtime. So, and the Heat, wow, two missed layups and a missed dunk, and he had the ball. Good for them. And really quick, talked about pretty much everything so far. I gave you guys the standings. And just a couple final thoughts just for you guys today before I end the show. I pretty much told you guys a lot. First of all, I talked about... Oh, sorry. Two things really quick I wanted to talk to you guys about. A couple of quick news. First news was Carlos Zambrano. He just got traded. I believe I told you guys that earlier, that he's going to the Marlins for Chris Volstead. And other news was that Penn State looks like they found their new coach. They were going after one of the Titans coaches, but he said no. Looks like Bill O'Brien, he is an offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. Looks like he's agreed to become the Penn State head coach. So, good for him. Pujols and the Angels, obviously that was already a done deal. We already got the shirts in at my work, actually, for the Pools and the Angels shirts. But it's $240 million guaranteed, so a lot of money, a lot of money. And just so you guys know, Prince Fielder is still looming. He's a huge first baseman. I don't mean weight wise, although kind of he is. I'm talking about stat wise and potential and what he can do on the field. He's still lurking. So he said he's not gonna go back to the Brewers. So we'll see if he snags him. I don't know if the Marlins will. It's a lot of money. We already have Gabby Sanchez, to be honest with you. So I don't see them making a move. I mean, Fielder is not that much better than Sanchez. Like I said, Sanchez made a Pro Bowl last year. Not Pro Bowl, excuse me. Got on my football mind though. He missed an All-Star game last year. So we have our first baseman. There's no reason to get rid of him, which we have to do if we got stuff. Just the amount of money that we're paying more to get Fielder would not make any sense. But just really quick before I leave you guys, here's my final thought. It's about football. Very interesting stat for you that I did not mention, but I thought it would be more fitted to be my final thought. Are the Packers as good as the record? It's only 16 games. In baseball and basketball, you play a lot of games, so your record pretty much says who you are. But in football, 16 games, you know, your schedule could be easy. You can win a couple games by 1 point. I know wins win, but that doesn't, you know, team is different. Whether if they win by 20 or by one, you're a different team. But your record's going to get you in the playoffs. But at the same time, how good are you? Packers are 15-1. They have given up more yards per game. No, well, yeah, they've given up more yards total than they've gotten. They've only achieved 6,482 total yards between whatever rushing, passing, and they've given up 6,585 yards. That's how this is crazy stat to me. So we'll see what happens with that. I know that the first seed, I have my picks move me into my, which will first, just moving into that thought, just, I know, I'm not going to lie to you. Obviously, a lot of those yards come from, they come from being up by a lot of points and playing conservative, and a lot of teams get a lot of yards on them. One other reason, they played the Lions twice, and obviously they're going to get a lot of yards on them. But I think that's part of it. But still, I think they give up a lot of yards. But I think their defense is very good as far as not giving up touchdowns. And they get a lot of takeaways. So that's really – but, I mean, just looking at that, you wouldn't see a 15-1 team there. You would see a below 500 team. But we'll see if that affects them in the playoffs or if that even means anything. But so that was a crazy stat. Crazy thought. And my last thought is my Super Bowl predictions. My prediction is the Ravens and the Saints, with the Ravens winning the Super Bowl. And my father does not believe me. He says that the Ravens are too old, but they're 12-4. But who isn't old in the East, first of all? Patriots are old. Steelers are old. And honestly, the Ravens have gotten younger. I mean, defensively, yes, they have an age, but they're still a great defensive team. Very good defensive team is that. And I think offensively they're young, very young, best. Flacco, Ray Rice, Torrey Smith, I think they're all very young players and are very capable of winning big games. And you've seen it all year long. I believe I don't think they've lost a home game. I'm pretty sure they're 8-1 at home for the year. I actually could check that out in like 2 seconds just to make sure. But just, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to play at least one road game. And that's the Patriots if they end up doing that. Ravens are 6-0 in the division. Yes, Ravens are 8-0 at home. And the only other 8-0 team is the Packers at home. The Saints are 8-0 at home as well. But I'm just giving you guys an idea. I think the Ravens will win the Super Bowl. And I think the Saints are going to make it out of the UFC. They're hot. They played the Packers in the first game of the year. But the second half, like I said, 7 straight wins. And I just think that they're a strong team. Drew Brees, they're two very similar teams. I'm not even going to lie to you. I think offensively the Saints are better, but the Packers are a little bit better defensively, at least with takeaways. I don't know how there won't be them two facing it off the NFC championship, but a lot of things can happen. Even the Falcons are a good team. Even the Lions are a good team. Just what you're looking at in the regular season. But without, I mean, I know defense was championship and Detroit has none, but their offense is just so good. Don't be surprised if they win a game or two. But their first game, like I said, is at New Orleans. I just don't see how anybody's going to beat New Orleans at home. It's all going to be about New Orleans playing on the road. But those are my picks. We'll see how that works out. Like I said, 4 games on this weekend. I am doing a bracket for my teams, for everybody. I got to get the first 4 games out of the way. Then I got to make my bracket because there's 6 teams. But that is all I have for you guys today. Glad that we have a lot of sports to talk about. Makes it a little more interesting. I think I talked about 5 or 6 different sports. I did. I talked about NFL. I did talk about baseball. I talked about hockey. College, both of them, basketball and football. I did good today. Zayman did good. There's 5 minutes left, but I told you guys everything I needed to tell you. And with that, I'm just going to say, I don't know. Man. Today's Thursday night. It would be kind of pointless for me to have an NFL show Sunday morning because 2 games play on Saturday, 2 games play on Sunday. Expect at least 1 show during the weekend. Stay tuned. I'm thinking a Saturday morning and a Sunday morning maybe. Just a quick 20, 30 minutes talking about both games. I'm really thinking maybe it's like a Friday night or a Saturday morning, so stay tuned for that. Expect a little pregame show for the NFL games. Maybe I'll have either Rob or Captain Frank Dredd on the air because I want to hear their thoughts and see what they're talking about. But with that, definitely join them Tuesday night, the Dredd of Sports Talk with Evil Rob, Captain Frank Dredd, and his trusty first mate, Ken. And make sure to join me every Thursday night at 11 o'clock for another edition of the Southern Sports Wrap next Thursday night. And always good to end things off with a good note. The Heat got a victory, 8-point win for them. So good for them to beat the team that beat them at home. They beat them on the road without their big 2 players. So good for them. And with that, good night, everybody. Good luck to you guys' teams in the playoffs. And I'll see you guys next week. Thank you, guys. Good night.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And